Good morning and welcome to Goat Rugby Podcast. This is our 114th episode. Crazy to think about that. It's January 15th, I think. Yes, January 15th, and it's 2021. I have to ask myself this morning, as the passage that I've been about to read, what I want to talk about, is something that's been on my mind for a few days now, but obviously a lot longer than that, but this particular passage has just been kind of in my thoughts and in my mind. What does it take to be a friend of God? I mean, when we talk about friendship and the bond of friendship, there's some sweet things in there. There's maybe some sweet memories for us. Maybe there's even thoughts of betrayal. We've had it all over the map when it comes to friendship, but what does it take to be a friend of God? I think that one of the greatest examples we can find actually is in John chapter 12, when Mary anoints the feet of Jesus. And it may seem strange to go there, but let's just take a look at it, and I'll read through verses 1 to 8, and then we can talk about it a bit more. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." It's a passage that has so much in it, I'm not even sure where to begin sometimes. But imagine this. Lord, I want to be your friend. I'll pour out my life like oil. I won't think about the cost. My only regret will be that I don't have more to give. What an act of worship that would be. But let's take a look at this a little bit more. Martha served. Those two words just seem to be lost sometimes. But when I look at the two women here, Martha and Mary, they both were loving Jesus in the way that they knew how, and the way that their personalities allowed for. Martha served. She was a practical woman. She used her hands. And in other accounts that we can read, there was frustration there of the sense of, why are you not helping me love Jesus? Why are you not helping me do this? Because this is important. Martha had her way of loving Christ, and she was doing what she was doing. It's not something to be belittled. It's something actually to be, I think, admired, because she was loving Jesus the way her personality allowed for. It says that Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table, and it's kind of think like, dude just got risen from the dead. Imagine that dinner conversation around that. We don't know that kind of thing in scripture, but I'm very curious. But where it goes on to verse 3 is kind of where I want to focus. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made of pure nard. We know that, and anointed the feet of Jesus. And we know that, a little while down, it's cost about 300 denarii it could have been sold for. This could have been a dowry. This could have been her retirement savings. This could have been, her rainy day, slush fund. This could have been anything. The point is that we learn from Mary, I think, three very important aspects of love. Love does not count the cost, ever. Love's only regret is that it doesn't have more to give. But it goes on when it says that, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Mary letting down her hair is important. And I think it's very important for all of us. And the reason why is because we have to imagine that there were lots of people in this house. There would have been a dinner party. There would have been people kind of on the street that would have heard or seen. They didn't have houses quite like we have, where it's like this buffered fortress with our whatever value insulation. Like it was a house. It was simple. It was small. And so when this was happening, this would have been a community event with lots of people experiencing it. It wasn't just between Mary and Jesus. And in those days, and I thank the Lord that we don't have those crazy societal restrictions now, but in those days, a woman letting down her hair in public would have made her to be a loose woman. I would even go to say that people might have even, in a more restrictive environment, might have called her a harlot. But she did not care who was looking. And that's the third aspect of love here. Love doesn't count the cost. Love's only regret that it doesn't have more to give. But love doesn't care who's looking. Love doesn't care who's watching. She let down her hair and she worshiped Jesus. She poured out her life like oil upon his feet. Foolish, maybe, but maybe not. It says that the house was filled with the fragrance of this perfume. That would have been like a perfume bomb going off in a way. That much oil, that much anointment, that kind of beautiful aspect of love is maybe the fourth aspect we should look at, and that love has a blast radius. When you drop a really big rock into a lake, what does it do? But that shatters that water's surface and ripples go out for quite a while. Love is like that. An act of love this significant is like that. And Mary loved Jesus in this way. She worshipped him. And I believe that this is an important set of things for us to look at when it comes to being a friend of God. Love does not count the cost. Love's only regret is that it doesn't have more to give. It doesn't care who's looking. It doesn't care what society says. It doesn't care what our province says. Love just simply does its thing, and it has a blast radius. Others will see it. We don't have to shout it from the rooftops. We don't have to be obnoxious about it. Love will just be seen. Love will be noticed. And we just have to be the kind of friend of God that doesn't care. Because you see, there's another personality in this mix of this trio that I'm talking about ultimately. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge in the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. You see, Judas was the hater in the crowd. He saw what was happening. He didn't see it for the act of love that it was. He just simply went to that place and said, "Why didn't we do something better with this?" He didn't realize that there's nothing better than pouring your life out for Christ. There is no better call than to give your life over to the Lord for his will and his purpose. That's a tough one to swallow, but it's a message we're learning from both Martha and Mary here. Because you see, we can choose which personality we're going to be. We can serve with our hands. We can work hard. We can do what we feel we need to do within our personality range that loves Jesus. And you know what? He will be so blessed by that, and we'll be friends of his. We can be the Marys who worship him with a reckless abandon, not caring who's around, but pouring out our life again like oil upon his feet and just saying, "Lord, you're here right now. I have you in front of me. This is all that matters." Day by day, we can do that. We can worship. We don't have to care what society says or what our families say. We don't have to care about anything like that because it's just simply ourselves and the Lord. Or we can be the hater in the crowd and we can criticize all of that and say, "Well, you know, we've got to have the white picket fence. I mean, we have to have, you know, all of these things. I've got to have two cars. I've got to have all that." You know what? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. Because I believe you can be a Mary. And I believe you can be the Martha in many circumstances in life. But we just have to also be aware you can also be the Judas. And I think that is a very big wake-up call. It is for me. Who are we this morning? Are we a friend of God? Are we a hater? Are we someone who pours out their life like oil without counting the cost? Whose only regret is that there isn't more to give? Are we someone who's busy working with our hands so that the Lord can see his work done throughout this world? Or are we the person sitting on the sidelines criticizing the whole thing, realizing that, "Oh, there goes my money"? Who are we here today? You see, in verse 7, Jesus said, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial." He knew his time on this earth was short at this point. This whole thing that was going on in Bethany, this was at the time of Passover. There would have been loads of people. In fact, they were in a little town a little while off from Jerusalem. It would have been that packed. This was a big, big festival. And so here, Jesus knows his time is short. And he was saying, the poor you always have with you, but you don't always have me. You know, one of the things that I think is really startling here is that Jesus is addressing Judas's concern, but he is also knowing Judas's heart and what is about to happen. And there's a beauty of grace there, that no matter who we are or where we're at right now, the Lord treats us with gentleness and kindness. And I don't know about you, but that kind of treatment is worth letting down my hair. It's worth pouring out my life like oil. It's worth not caring who's looking or who is around, not caring about what society says. Oh, to be a friend of God.